All right, let's open our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4, please. And tonight, I want us to kind of explore three different things that we use, three different words, but we use them interchangeably, like one is similar to the other and is similar to the other. What I mean by that is, you know, the words cussing. What's another word we use for cussing? Swearing. What's another word we use for swearing? Cursing, right? We, in our minds, they are all one and the same, but in the Bible, they are all different. Did you know that? One is not the other. Cussing is not cursing, and cursing is not swearing, and swearing is not cussing, and swearing is not cursing in the Bible. So we want to explore that tonight, and tonight I want to focus in on cussing, okay? Believe it or not, let me say here, don't pick up stones and don't throw them at me. I think that the Church of Jesus Christ at large, has it all backwards. We become more offended at cuss words when we really should become more alarmed at cursing. I'll tell you what we're talking about there. Why do I say that? Because, you know, if you read the Bible in the original language, some of the translations kind of powder puff the language, but the Bible uses very strong language at times. Can I give you a couple of examples? Even Jesus referenced a cuss word, and we'll look at it here tonight. Aren't you glad you came already? One example, what about that scripture in Isaiah that, you know, he considers all of our righteous, self-righteous deeds as what? Filthy rags. Now, that's not talking about dish rags. Who knows what he's talking about? He's talking about used up women's menstrual rags. And he gets quiet. That's what the prophet was talking about. That's the way our self-righteousness appears to God. As the stench of it, just the stench of it alone, offends God when we think that in and of ourselves we can do good without God. What does he consider those? Filthy rags. You're more comfortable with filthy rags. But now you understand what they mean, right? Okay, so my point is the Bible uses very strong language. But in our English language, because of the Victorian era, we have cleaned up some of the original language to make it more presentable. What about when Paul the Apostle says, I consider all of my accomplishments in my self-confidence in the flesh as a pile of what? Dung, manure. We would use the S word today. I mean, is that strong? Doesn't the Bible use strong language? You know, it doesn't powder puff some of these things. So let's begin reading with Ephesians chapter 4. And I will read verse 29, just one verse, really says a lot in one singular verse. Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Notice, do not let any corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Right. Bad talk, isn't it? Can we also use the word filthy talk? Right? All right. Now, let's look at another verse. Go with me to Colossians, please. Colossians chapter 4. Read some. Oh, here it is. This is what I want to. Who would like to read verse 6 of Colossians 4, please? Let your speech always be seasoned with grace, or be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. Okay, so what does that say? My words should be what to the hearer? The truth, but what's a word that Colossians 3:6 says? Salt, but what's the other word? Grace. Gracious. Okay. We're going to use common sense here. Okay, how many of us know that cuss words are not gracious? Right? Cuss words are not gracious. So we should not allow that kind of talk to come out of our mouths. Now, having said that, listen, I want to communicate the intent of the law and not just the letter of the law. Because in churches, listen, church family, can I just keep it real tonight? This is what bothers me the most is, okay, this is what I've seen in my limited experience of being a pastor at the local church. People have gotten super offended and all huffy because they heard somebody else use colorful language, but then this same person will go out behind somebody's back and berate them and talk nasty about them and tear them down to another believer. Yet, to them, that's not offensive to God, but to them, cuss words are offensive. What's wrong with that picture? See, there's a duplicity about that. How many of us know that betraying a believer behind their back to somebody else and tearing the other believer down is just as bad? Come on, somebody. Can I keep it real tonight? It's just as bad, if not worse, than somebody using a cuss word. But in the church, it seems like the cuss word is the greater offense. Why? Our words are supposed to be gracious, right? We're not supposed to cuss. And let me say here, I see it on social media. Some people that will talk about the resurrection on Easter, talk about the birth of Christ in December, and yet all throughout they will use the F word on some of their posts, and they call themselves believers. And I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. You've got to be kidding. Your tongue is not submitted to the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? To me, there's a disconnect. If you name the name of Christ, we are not afforded to use harsh, filthy language or coarse language. And the book of Ephesians goes on to talk about using coarse jesting, and that's something that I've got to watch because I like to kid around a lot and I like to make people laugh, but I got to be careful not to make light of things that should not be made light of. That's what coarse jesting is, and Paul the Apostle went on to say, these are inappropriate for God's people. Everybody good? Nobody angry that we're talking about this? Okay, go with me to Matthew chapter 5. And Jesus talks about a word that in his time, in that culture, in the Jewish culture, any person that said it got him in front of the Sanhedrin, the council. It was so offensive, and it was such a real bad cuss word that it was forbidden to say to another believer or another fellow Jew, okay? So let's read Matthew chapter 5, 22. But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. That's talking about the council. That's talking about earthly judgment. And whoever says to his brother, Raca, let's all say it, Raca, shall be in danger of the what? In other words, this kind of word, if you use it toward another person, it's going to get you in trouble with the religious authorities. Let's move on. But whoever says, you fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. So he's talking about different things, right? In that culture, fool was probably the worst thing you could call a person. But let's back up to the word raca. The word raca is Aramaic. It's not Hebrew. It's Aramaic. Jesus spoke the Aramaic language. When I was 19 years old, I was reading a book because I was just so hungry for the Word of God that I literally, and I'm not making this up, when I was a teenager, I didn't sow wild oats. I spent many a lonely days at my mom and dad's house studying the Bible for hours a day, hours a day. So I read a book that said that the word raca is the same as calling somebody today an SOB. Interesting, huh? And yet Jesus quoted it. Now, was Jesus cussing? No, Jesus was not cussing, but Jesus was referencing a cuss word. Right? So let's keep cuss words in their place. Church family, listen to me. It's improper. They are inappropriate for our mouths. But they are not the end of the world if somebody says them. Can I hear an amen? To me, I think that we have the cart before the horse and we put more offense in cuss words than we should. And we put no offense in some of the cursing because backstabbing and backbiting and gossip and rumors, all that falls under cursing. And it just remains quiet in the house of God. To communicate the spirit of the command and not just the letter of it, right? So God says, listen, there are different degrees of punishment here. Raca will get you in trouble with the local authorities if you were a Jew at that time. But fool, the word fool falls under the category of cursing, not cussing. The word fool falls under the category of what? What's the consequence? Hell's fire, right? So let's be aware, church family. All I'm saying is there's a distinction. And in the heart of God, cussing is just stupid language. Let me say it this way, the way a friend once told me. Profanity is the crutch of the uninformed. How's that? People talk dumb because they don't know any better, and if they do know better, shame on them. Right? You can use, you know, the English language has millions of words to use. You don't have to default into barn talk. Our definition of foolish in our American language, in our English language, is far different than their definition of fool. Our definition of fool means to be intellectually deficient. In the Jewish culture 2,000 years ago in Jesus' time, it meant to be morally deficient. Call somebody a profligate. Right? Or call a lady a loose woman. That would be a fool in Jesus' time. Does that make sense? To curse, basically, you're putting someone down to their face or behind their back. How many of you all have ever been stabbed in the back and had the knife twisted? Yes, right? I'm just going to tell you where I stand with this. You know, I just try to know my audience and not to be offensive. I used to use shock and awe a lot. I try not to do that. I try to be sensitive. But then again, I'm not going to live for the approval of others. Does that make sense? I'm not going to be worried constantly about, well, what if I say this, and if this person takes it wrong? I can't live that way. None of us can live that way. We just do our very best, don't we? So go with me, if you would please, to verse 33 of Matthew 5. Okay, so do we know what cussing is? It's inappropriate language. We shouldn't be found on our lips. It is improper. Paul the Apostle says, rather give thanks with your mouth. Okay? All righty. So now let's go to swearing. Verse 33, again, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not swear falsely, but shall perform your oaths to the Lord. But I say to you, do not swear at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Nor shall you swear by your head, because you cannot make one hair white or black. Verse 37, but let your yes be yes and your no, no, for whatever is more than these is from the evil one. Pretty plain, isn't it? What's he talking about swearing? When we make an oath. Oh, I swear to God. I swear on my mother's grave. Should we be swearing at all? Jesus says, just let your yes be yes or your no be no. Hey, you know, if somebody asks you for something, hey, can you make me a promise to do this? Well, it depends. Some people have asked me that as a pastor. Nobody here have asked me that as a pastor, and they get offended when I say, well, it depends. Because I try to make good on my promises. Come on, somebody. We should be a people that we make good on our promises, but we shouldn't just promise things flippantly or lightly and not follow through, because our word is our bond, right? Say something about the cussing. I'm going to say something about the cussing, then leave cussing behind, okay? How many of us know that Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks? So we are given to it. If we do it if we have a habit of doing it, maybe we're more aware of in public not to do it. But if we do it in our homes, how many of us know that when we are unguarded, in our unguarded moments, it's going to come out? There was once I heard this from when I was a pastor in Kansas. There was this Lutheran minister that was kind of a happy-go-lucky guy. And, you know, he kind of looked like Friar Tuck, had the haircut, and kind of a jolly, jolly gentleman. He was doing a child dedication or something, a baptism. And he wasn't feeling that great that morning. He was sick with the flu. And so he excused himself from the congregation. He ran to the restroom because he had to puke. And he forgot to turn off his microphone. So you hear a little coughing, just like Kayla's demonstrating. Like, the next thing you hear is, oh, shh. He said the word. Everybody's like trying to hold it back, trying to hold in the laughter in the congregation while he's cleaning himself. He comes out and everybody loses it. They just, because he was unaware that it came through the microphone. So how many of us know that if we are given to it, it's going to come out when we don't want it to come out? Right, Lau? So cussing is inappropriate, isn't it? It's just inappropriate. I know we're all guilty. I'm guilty, church family. I'm guilty. Move on. So oath or swearing is making an oath on something. What did Jesus say about swearing? Do not swear at all. Do not make a promise based on God's throne. I mean, for the Jews, it was the city of Jerusalem. So I'm not supposed to swear to God, am I? In fact, that word really, you will not hear me say, I swear, because of what Jesus said. Do not swear at all. I don't swear. And he said, just don't swear by this or by that. Don't swear by your head. You can't make your hair white or black. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Just that simple. And so I'm not going to swear in my mother's grave. She's still alive. I'm not going to swear in my father's grave. There's no need to swear. Now, do we see the distinction between cussing and swearing? A lot of people think that Peter is just a cussing fisherman. And he very much, listen carefully, fishermen in that time, they were very crude. So yes, Peter cussed, but he also swore and he also cursed. He covered all the bases. Okay? Let's begin reading with verse 69 of Matthew 26. Now Peter sat outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him saying, "You also were with Jesus of Galilee." But he denied it before them all, saying, "I do not know what you're saying." Verse 71, and when he had gone out to the gateway, another girl saw him and said to those who were there, "This fellow also was with Jesus of Nazareth." But again, he denied it with what? What did Jesus say to do with those oaths? Do not swear. Now listen, church family, look at the gravity of the sin. The first time he just denied it. The second time he swore on oath that he had not even known Jesus. Yikes. It just got worse, didn't it, Lyle? He went from bad to worse. Now he's swearing, which Jesus said, do not do. Next verse. But again, he denied it with an oath, "I do not know the man." Oh, gosh, doesn't that just stab your heart? Oh. And after a while, those who stood by came to him and said to Peter, "Surely you also are one of them, because your speech betrays you." Then he began to do what? And swear, saying, "I do not know the man." And immediately a rooster crowed. What is cursing in that context? What is here's the definition of cursing: pronouncing misfortune and calamity and the worst thing to happen to another person or to yourself. when you're cursing people, pronouncing misfortune. Have you heard people say, oh, I hope you go to hell? Or you'll never mount up to anything. You know what that is? I mean, I have a friend that is an adult my age that heard it from his math teacher to this day. We were in the eighth grade. The math teacher was a very tough teacher, but she spoke words and told him, you'll never mount up to anything. And those words stayed with him the rest of his life. What are those words? Curses. Now, as children of God, we don't have to let those curses stick. Am I right? Because, God told Balaam tried to curse the nation of Israel. And God said, the angel said, hey, what God has blessed, you cannot curse. How many of us know that in Christ we are blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms? So whatever curses somebody else tells you, can those curses stick? Unless we allow them to, right? If we allow those curses in our hearts and our minds, they will stick. But if we don't and dismiss them, say, hey, you know what? Hey, I'm more than a conqueror through Christ who loved me. I'm a world overcomer. I'm a child of the King. I've got royal blood coursing through my veins. Woo! See, I'm getting all happy now. I feel the anointing. If I start pronouncing who I am in Christ, those curses will just bounce off. Right? And those people that are trying to curse you, buddy, you better be watching out, because those curses are going to bounce off of me and come back on you. The book of Proverbs says that an unprovoked curse cannot land justly on a person. It'll go back on them. It'll be back on their heads. You better be watching out. Been reading the book of Psalms where it says, where David said, Lord, those who have dug a pit for me, let them fall in the pit they dug for me. Right? See, that's the worst part. This is worse than cursing. I'll tell you, when you combine cuss words with cursing, it's the worst. Well, you blankety blank blank blank, who do you think you are, you blankety blank blank? You are worth nothing. You'll never mount up. Without me, you are nothing. I made you. I can destroy you. Blah, blah, blah. All these crazy words. That is cursing, church family. That is the worst form. And the sad part is I've seen it in churches where people will tear down another believer with their words, and yet they'll get all huffy and they'll get all offended about hearing a cuss word. I'm like thinking, man, you're all jacked up. Hello. You know what we as God's people, when people cuss us out or curse us out or whatever, what does the Bible say? Return blessing for cursing, doesn't it? By returning a blessing, you're not letting that curse stick on you. You know, I'm just going to pray for my enemies. Lord, just bless them. They're ignorant. They don't know. They're living in the darkness. They don't know the power of words. Lord, just draw close to them. Be real to them, Lord. Save them if they don't know you. And Lord, if they're backslidden, bring them back to you, God.